are listening to Dovetails with Deborah, a show about encouragement as we empower you with tales and testimonies of many who share what has happened to them as the Holy Spirit rests on them like a dove.
Happy Easter to everyone. I'm so excited and welcome back to a brand new episode of Dovetails. Praise God, because the old has gone and the new has come. This is the year of new beginnings, a year of hope, restoration, replenishment, and being refreshed. We have a wonderful lineup of guests for you to learn from, but make no mistake, for these guests are courageous as they share the most intimate details of their lives. How grateful I am, because each weekend I continue to learn and be amazed at what God is capable of when humanity welcomes him into their lives. Oh, what God can do with a willing heart is simply remarkable. So if you have never encountered or heard about Jesus Christ before, consider hanging out with us this sweet afternoon as we unpack the journey of my extraordinary guests in order to discover the truth together. And if it is your first time tuning into Dovetails, I am your host, Deborah, founder of DCL Ministries, a ministry birthed from my pain, my tears, my divorce, and my healing when I surrendered to God's process. There is a misconception that time is the thing that heals all wounds, but time doesn't heal anything, ladies and gentlemen. Time only tells, but it is only God who heals, only God who covers, only God who loves mankind unconditionally. DCL Ministries is about allowing the God-breathed word to thoroughly equip mankind for every good work. So if you like to join the movement and like what you hear, log on to www.dclministries.com to receive the newsletter, become a guest on Dovetails, read the thought-provoking articles, Sunday devotionals, and learn all about the featured ministries on our very own Writer's Corner. And beginning in June, I'm so excited because we're going to be doing a six-month series on divorce, separation with author Rachel Kidder. There's so much that go on in a marriage, the underbelly when someone's separated, the grief that happens, the transition that happens. So we're going to be talking about that for the next 6 months starting in June. And lastly, if you are looking for a good read, try out my new book, The Women God Used. And if I can linger just a little bit longer, I'd like to read you an excerpt. Women are such fascinating creatures. And if you don't believe me, have a disagreement with one of them and then let me know how you make out. Yes, I agree. We can be difficult, emotional, argumentative, assertive, bossy, dominating. But to our credit, we are also cute, cuddly, adorable, submissive, beautiful, compassionate, nurturing, supportive, and hardworking. I guess in the end, to save time, we are, as a species, complicated. But please tell me, who isn't? The women God used are rarely seen baking apple pie or reading a story to their children before bed. No, the women God used were also clever, unconventional, strong-minded, and strategic. Today, these women would be described as the first you would pick to be on your board of advisors, but not the kind you want to meet in a dark alley after hours. These women are strong enough to drag you to the finish line, but the first to leave you if you are not pulling your weight. Yes, God handpicked complex and complicated women whose stories are not glamorous, with some of their methods being less than desirable. But they created new streams in the very dirty wasteland of sin. These biblical women forged a dynasty in biblical history and now grace the pages of the greatest story ever told to prove it. If you are not aware, these are the women God used. And this book is for all the women that have had to adjust to life, the women that had to grow into their shells and become leaders, risk takers, rebels, parents to unruly children, widows, single mothers, prostitutes, entrepreneurs, and anything else to survive in this world corroded with sin. This book will allow its readers to see a snapshot of women that didn't take no for an answer when the pitfalls of life tried to bury them into the ground. These women triumphed beyond comprehension and, despite sin crouching at their door, chose unconventional ways and made it anyway. Therefore, God didn't waste our time with highlighting women in the Word that were content with church as usual. No, these were women who cried for a night and, due to time constraints, had to wake up and press on toward the goal to reach the finish line. Horrible, you say? I think not. For some of them might have been annoying, but they were also anointed. And many women in the Bible are complicated, but they were also called. And many might have appeared as if they were scandalous, and yet God could trust them with trouble. This book will walk its readers through the lives of unique women that were called into a ministry, a position in history that no believer or non-believer can ignore or ever forget. I challenge the position that these women were out of place or horrible. On the contrary, they were the Sigourney Weavers of their time, the G.I. Janes of the Bible, and the movers and shakers in their hometown. These women feared the Lord, and through his guidance, changed the hands of time and biblical history. These complicated women, smothered in their own issues and problems and struggles, rose up despite the adversity with a double-edged sword in one hand and the issues of their families in the other. These women paved a way for all who would dare to follow in their tumultuous footsteps, with a disclaimer in bold letters reading, "Buckle up your baby, because we are all in for a bumpy ride." Oh, yes, you are correct in thinking that these women were unconventional. But sin entering the world changed everything. So don't judge how these women made it through, for they are survivors, just like you and just like me. These Bible warriors screamed out to anyone that would listen, "I am woman. Now hear me roar." Therefore, it's time to pay some respect to the women God used. The Women God Used is about humanity learning to let go of what they thought was going to happen and what they wanted when striving to take hold of a God-centered lifestyle in union with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That is why Dovetails is so excited to have author of the 3-volume book titled Faith is No Accident, the resilient and God-fearing Diana Dungy on our program this Easter afternoon. Diana Dungy is a 61-year young miracle, an awesome woman of God with a story to tell. She has suffered multiple illnesses and accidents since she was 13 years old and clinically dead 3 times in her life. But through it all, she never gave up. She couldn't give up, because what is bigger or mightier than God? Nothing. The Lord has allowed her to obtain several degrees in business administration, accounting, childhood development, substance abuse, professional secretarial, and academic scholarships, a bachelor's in criminal justice and human services, founder of the Blessed Ones Alcohol and Drug Concerns Outpatient Treatment Facility. She has a praying mother and wonderful supportive family with 10 siblings who are all still alive and kicking. I love that. What more can she ask for? So sit back and relax this Easter Sunday while I interview a woman who believes that her life was an accident looking for a place to happen, but now she is a blessing looking for others to bless. The incredible story of Diana Dungy coming up next. Stay tuned.
Don't go away. Stay tuned for more Dovetails with Deborah right after this.
What's up, y'all? This is your bro, Robbie Newborn, Christian rap evangelist, ministry leader, and founder of GDT Walking Out Ministries, a drug awareness, peer mentoring, and counseling ministry that spreads a message of hope to the hopeless, bringing the gospel to the street. I am a recovery specialist, intervention, drug prevention professional. So if you're looking for a counselor or counseling or someone to just talk to, please call me at 484-525-9832. My website is www.rdsjr.com. God bless you all from all of us at GDT, Walking Out Ministries, and Team God. Peace and Christ love. Come on.
This is Catherine Muse, author and founder of Defend the Faith Ministry, and you're listening to Dovetails with Deborah right here on PJC Media.
Authors, are you looking for a new way to get your book in the hands of new audience of targeted buyers? Then a virtual book tour is for you. Right now, virtual book tours is an excellent opportunity for you to introduce your book and who you are as an author. Launching your book is very important. A virtual book tour will connect you with readers. We at WNL, we specialize in book tours, book blasts, radio tours, cover reveals, and Facebook chat. Promoting and marketing your book is what we do. Online publicity, the exposure and the publicity is what you need. Let us help you reach new readers and a new audience. We take care of everything so you don't have to. We set up the tour for you. We connect you with bloggers to advertise your book by way of interviews, guest posts, and reviews. If you are an author of a newly published book, have an upcoming release, or just want to give a previously published book new life, a virtual book tour is your answer. Check our tours out at www.wnlbooktours.com. Visit me on Facebook. I am the owner, Paulette Harper.
We're back, and you're tuned in to Dovetails with Deborah right here on WPJC 104.5.
And we are back. Happy Easter to everyone. Of course, I have to sing that. Easter is truly a time to be grateful, to be thankful for all that Christ has done for us on the cross. It is a moment to rethink and readjust as we continue to welcome in His counsel, His grace, His guidance, and His mercy. So we are delighted to share with you a woman who has been doing just that. Diana Dungy is here to share her tremendous dovetail. She has for 37 years been a professional secretary, 13 years as a licensed chemical dependent counselor, and 5 years as an instructor of the Drug Offender Educational Program. So please, 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 without further delay, help me welcome to the show this courageous and beautiful woman, Diana Dungy. Welcome, Diana.
Hallelujah. Welcome to you, Deborah. Thank you so much for allowing me to be on your show. Man, I'm feeling all uplifted already just listening to you. Your voice is so anointed. I thank God for this opportunity.
I'm so glad that our paths have crossed. And, you know, just this flavor that you give, you are just, you know, you're special. And your testimony is special. Oh, my goodness, the layers. There's so many layers in your testimony. It's amazing. So, I'm determined to unpack it today. Determined. So
you can do that.
Well, here on Dovetails, Diana, I love starting at the beginning. Every time that I have this show, first of all, it's based in Scripture. I love the idea in the Gospels. We see in the Gospels that the heavens are torn open and the Holy Spirit descends on Christ like a dove. And I know when my family and I, we got together, it was like, what can we call this show? I don't know what to call it. You know, I know that I want to do a show about God and His transformative work, Christ, and, you know, the regenerative work of Holy Spirit. But what do we call it? So as we're looking at the Scriptures, when the Holy Spirit descends on Christ like a dove, it's like, oh, my goodness, I'm a disciple of Christ. And Christ said that we're going to go out and we're going to do better and stronger and more powerful things than He. And so if that's the case, and I'm disciple, that means the Holy Spirit has also descended on me like a dove. And so rather, you know, we thought, you know what, it needs to be called Dovetails. And of course, with that, it's like everybody has a dovetail. Everybody has something to impart to the world. Everybody's here for a reason. You, Diana, here for a reason. And then to close it up, I remember watching this movie, Vanilla Sky, and there was a line in the movie that was just so profound to me. The movie was okay, but the line was very profound to me. It was like a proverb sticking out in my mind. And that line was that the sweet isn't as sweet without the bitter. And I thought to myself, you know what? That's what this show is about. God wants us to see the whole picture, not just what we want to put on social media, not just what we want to put when we meet someone. It's great to see the limo. It's wonderful to see the ministry. But this show is about how you got there. How did you get there? Oh, I love it. So with my first question to you, I want to start at the beginning and ask you, did you grow up in a family that acknowledged Jesus Christ?
Amen. I sure did. I sure did, Deborah. My mother, I mean, she tried every belief there was until we finally settled on a Pentecostal church where we had the tongue talking, feet popping, word of God. I mean, then my stepfather and her, they, after he gave his life to the Lord, because he had a nightclub that was upstairs and our church was downstairs in this building.
It
was awesome to see just how God just came through there. And, you know, he had to take him down a little bit, but he finally surrendered and gave his life to Christ. And he and Mom started traveling as evangelists. I mean, they went through deliverance. They were healing people from demons. We would see people have one leg shorter than the other, and how the Lord just miraculously just healed them where they was able to see, able to walk. I mean, I've seen it all growing up, so I already know the power of God, and not just from seeing it, but from also experiencing it. So I can't nobody tell me that there's no God. Not even an option. Amen. So,
Amen.
He grew up in that, and God is just faithful. God is just faithful.
Diane, I love right out the box that you said something that I need to highlight, because there's people listening today that are, you know, there's a misconception that God's people are not real people. Right away, I love that you said that your parents tried every belief out there. Some of you out there listening, you're thinking like you wake up and want to serve God. Like, you know, that it's in our, you know, like it's in the woman's womb when she gives birth to the child. Sometimes you just have to try everything to see why God is the one to serve. You have to see why Christ is the one to serve. It's okay that you're curious. It's okay. But if you're seeking the truth, you will stumble on Jesus. That is the truth.
That is the truth. Amen.
So I hope you're hearing right out the box what Diana is saying, that, you know what, her parents tried everything. And also, did you hear, I hope you didn't miss it, we had a nightclub on one floor and church on the next. I love it, right?
Oh, yeah. We used to sit back there in the back at the corner and put our ears up to the pipe so that we could hear what was going on upstairs.
Aww. But, you know, I love, because, you know, I know when I first came to the Lord, one thing that I was nervous about myself was, Lord, when I come to you, when I start to serve you, am I going to be recognizable to myself? And I think what I love about what you're saying is he does celebrate uniqueness. If you love music, God's saying, just take me with you. You want to be a ballerina? Yeah. Take me with you. You want to open up your own hair shop? Take me with you. He disperses his word. That's why it can go from generation to generation. So I love that. I think you bringing up how you were raised in your family, you know, there is no necessarily right or wrong. God will, you know, he can find you through anything. How do you think your family would describe you as you were a young teenager growing up? How do you think they would describe you?
As a young teenager growing up, they probably would describe me as an introvert, bashful, shy, quiet, probably a person that was passive. And I tell you the reason for that, and I believe it, and it carried even through my adult years, was because when I was 13, I got into a bike accident. I was a tomboy, and so I'd like to do what the guys do. So when they go and ride their bikes and pop the wheelies and jump over boulders and on racing through places, I did the same thing. So one day I had a girl cousin. She just decided she wanted to ride too. So she had to ride on the back of the bike with me. And we had this very steep incline called the 14th Street Hill Bridge. And, I mean, it went from the top almost straight down to the end, and there were several pillars, you know, the bridge that would separate it to go down that hill. And what happened was she started kicking, and with her movement, the handlebar stripped, and it threw me face first down that hill into one of the pillars, and it took off the right side of my face.
Oh, my gosh.
And so for the first 2 years of my life after that accident, I had to stay in one room because nobody could look at me. My eye was sewn back, my mouth, and I had so many different injuries. When I woke up in the hospital, the priest was standing over me, and the hospital room was filled with family members. That was like a week or two after the accident, and I heard crying. I looked to my right side, and there my mom was down on her knees crying, asking the Lord to save her baby. And I'm like, I woke up, and I'm looking around, and I'm like, well, who is her baby, and why is this priest standing over me with these beads in his hand and going to be his last rites? And I immediately sat up. I think I seen when you were talking about doves, I remember something like a dove flying before my face as I sat up. And my left arm busted open. It was like a blood, like a water fountain. And as I think about it now, I thought about how when Jesus was pierced in the side as he was on the cross and his blood came out and it fell upon several of the guards and they were immediately saved. And I believe that has some type of significance with the blood coming out of my arm like a waterfall. I believe that God was telling me that the blood of life was running through my body and I wasn't going anywhere. So for the first 2 years, you know, I was had to constantly be put on a thick pad and the back of a station wagon and transported to the hospital where they put me in a huge tub. They had real hot, medicated-smelling stuff in there, and the doctor would have to scrape my face, scrape all the way down my back, the front part of me, my arms, my legs, because every time the scabs would grow back, they had to be scraped back, and that was part of the healing as well. And just like Jesus today, he has to prune us. He has to pull things back. And sometimes it hurts. Sometimes it doesn't feel good. And I believe that's the same exact thing God was symbolizing, and I never thought about it. Actually, some of the stuff I'm saying now, I'm just thinking about it as I'm speaking on your show. And God just scraped on back, and the doctor said after the second year, they said I was going to have at least 7 plastic surgeries.
Order
to look human again. And my mom, she stood, she prayed, and when it came time for me to go back to the hospital, the doctor looked at my face and he didn't know who I was. And so when my mom told him what was going on, he called several other doctors and surgeons in there, and they were amazed because they thought I had went somewhere else and had the surgery done. But God had already started the healing process where I didn't have to have plastic surgery. And so I was so confident that I was human again. You know, mirrors were put back up because we didn't have no mirrors in the house. The doctors would allow me to see mirrors for 2 years. And so my mom finally said, okay, we're going to take you downtown. I'm going to take you downtown with me. And as she did, we ran across a friend of hers. And this friend, she was standing there, she was talking to mom. And all of a sudden, I felt something hot and gooey hit my shoes and all this stuff. And I'm looking up, and this lady actually looked at my face and got so sick that she vomited all over me and my shoes. And it was such a horrific experience. I mean, I was so hurt to think that somebody could look at me and get so sick that they vomit. And so that situation just carried on through my life where I didn't look people in the eye. I stayed to myself. I isolated. Even though God was still healing me on the outside, I didn't know that I was healed. To me, because of that image of that lady, till I was almost 30-something years old, I still carry that image and the way I felt like I looked to people. Even though, you know, people would say things to me, I didn't believe it. I never believed that I was the person that they started seeing. I still see myself as that injured person with my sister used to call me the feature creature. And, my cousin, they called me the Hunchback of Notre Dame because I had so many scales. The scales were so thick that it looked like I was hunchback. That's how thick injury was on my body. And I just thank God I had one friend. They would come and she would exercise my legs and sit with me. She'd bring my homework to me. And I thank God that he gave me that friend. And she's still my friend today.
Amen.
But that was one thing that caused my family to, you know, they would describe me as someone that was isolated because I stayed in my room. Even growing up, I would just read books all the time and listen to music. And my mom said, you got to get out of that because you don't have any social skills. So I didn't know how to talk to people. I didn't know how to get in front of a group of people and be comfortable because I felt everybody's going to look at me and see that creature that I was when I was in my teen years. So, and, you know, honestly, Deborah, it wasn't until 1993, so I guess I was like 47 years old, and my nephew had been shot down by some gang members. And even with that, my brother worked out of town, and we always took the train tracks to come home. And so my brother had took the train tracks, and he was walking through the dark, and he stumbled upon something. And when he shined his light, there was his son on the ground, just shot up at least 20-something times. And, you know, that was a effect that caused me to say, no, I'm going to move my mom here to Houston with me. I didn't know my mom was so sick as she was till she got off the plane in a wheelchair. And I took care of her from September to November, and she passed away in my bed on Thanksgiving Eve. But the time that she spent with me, that made me feel like I was beautiful. Every day she would look at me and she would say, you are so beautiful. And no matter how many times we went to the hospital, she would not allow me to stay in the room with her. She would say, you need to go down that hall. I hear somebody down there in pain. You need to go pray for this person. You need to go pray for that person. That's the type of person my mother was. She was my role model growing up. Whenever I wrote a story, my story was about my mother. I had 10 brothers and sisters, and she was just like there for everybody. I don't even know how she was able to do it. But I just thank God because she taught us that everybody was created equal, and whenever anything happens, to always pray first. Pray first and trust God. And, you know, even when I got out there, when I wanted to be in the world, she would send me tracts in the mail and say, you know, you got to, what God got to do, kill you before you get, you start listening. She said I was so hard-headed. But so it was just, but she taught, she laid the groundwork. And when she passed away, I mean, oh, my God. If I tell you, she was in a coma, but one night in the middle of the night, she just sat up with such a beautiful smile on her face, and she was waving to someone. And my pastor was there by the bedside, and she started narrating it. She said she sees her mother, she sees her husband, she sees Jesus. And at that time, I knew that it was almost time for my mom to go home. But she left her mantle with me. She taught me to go into the hospitals and pray and undergird people, and that's what I do today. God, I have prayed, and people come out of comas that they've been in for months. God is just so awesome, but I was able to do it because of the things that I went through, because of the things that God has healed me from. Even after that accident at 13, I have been in the hospital every year of my life since, for some type of disease, some type of accident. Even being, I have 3 children. 2 of them were conceived out of rape. My goal, my deal was that I would go to my marriage bed undefiled. I was not planning on having sex before marriage. I was not taught that way. But a guy I had met, and I liked him, but I wasn't ready to go to bed with him. We're teenagers now, and I try to teach my children the same way. You know, keep your virginity. Look, young ladies, that is our token to life. That's our life. That's our lifeline. That's our jewel. We are jewels. God made us jewels, and he made that part of us precious so that it will be for the man that God gives us as a husband. And when we get rid of it too soon or before we're married, I mean, it causes a ugly soul tie. unhealthy soul ties where we're hooked up with men that God did not have for us to be with. And that's why we go through a lot of turmoil in our relationships, because we're not in with the person, and we're not when we're out of the will of God. And so that really was a horrible experience. I never had sex until I was in my late 20s. The first two was each one time I was in intimate with a man, it was because of rape. And my second child, she was premature. Both my children were premature. So my second child, both of us were pronounced dead at the time. But they life-flighted her to one town, and I stayed in the hospital till I got well. But for the first 3 years of her life, she was in the hospital. She never was able to come home until after she gained at least 5 pounds. So every weekend I was going out of town because the doctor said, she's not going to make it. I need you guys to come up here. So it was a constant battle. But my mom and dad said, that is a miracle child, and she's going to make it. And I mean, that's my second blessing, and she is a blessing. And the doctor said she wouldn't be able to do this, she wouldn't be able to do that. And I tell you, she can do that and then some. So I just thank God. I just thank God for all he's healed me through cancer. And you know, Deborah, I was 23 years old when I was pronounced with endometrial cancer at that time. And I was so used to mom coming down, spending time with me, because I lived in the town where my baby, my second child, was it. I finally moved there. And so mom came down for Christmas, I think it was, and she looked at me, and I was skin and bones, and she was like, and I told her that my diagnosis was, and she said, well, I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to keep you lifted up. She said, but God said, this time you're going to come to him for yourself. And I was angry. I was like, how can God tell my mom to stop praying for me? How can he do that when this is one of the times that I really need help and prayer? And then the Lord reminded me, you got 3 children of your own. Your mom's not always going to be there. Soon, you're going to have to depend on me for yourself and for your children. And I was like, wow, that is so true. And the Lord said, and another thing is, you have to forgive, because I can't bless no mess. I had to forgive the man that raped me. I had to forgive the people that lied on me, where my children were even taken away from me at one time. My baby that was in the hospital, she fell 15 feet over the railing. Head first. It's almost the month that she got out of the hospital when she was 3. The neighbor was supposed to be watching her because I was watching the babies. And she fell. And unbeknownst to me at that time, the neighbor was in a relationship with the father of the 2 children. So she got with him, and they said that I pushed my baby over that railing. And so I had to go through CTS. You know how women have to get their children taken away. Sometimes it's a false allegation, but even though it's a false allegation, CPS has to take the children until it is determined whether or not it was real or not. So I had to go through all that. The judge told me the only way that I could keep my children if I stopped working, drop out of school, and go on welfare. I had already made a decision. I would never allow the government to raise my children. But I had to do that for a while. And as soon as they released me, I got a job. And I've always worked 2 jobs and went to school because I wanted to make the best life I could for my children. And God has allowed me to raise my 3 daughters by myself. And I just thank him for the beautiful daughters he has given me, and I bless him for my 11 grandchildren and my great-granddaughter. So God has blessed me through all of this. He has blessed me. He has kept me. So that was 2 of the times I had been pronounced clinically dead. And then my 3rd one was once in 85, I moved to Houston, and I love to swim. So I'm out diving the waves, and a big wave came and pulled me all the way out where the boats couldn't even find me.
Hmm.
And the guy I was engaged to at the time, he jumped off that boat, and he found me. How he did it, there was nobody but the grace of God, because I was way out in Galveston, way past where they have all the buoys, all that. And God sent him, he found me, but they said I was not going to make it.
Mm-hmm.
Every night in that hospital, I kept hearing blue, cold blue. They'd rush me out. I mean, and it's amazing. I could hear all those things, and it was about me. There was others in the hospital as well. We was all in this cold blue room. I've never been in a cold blue room except when I was there for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And God brought me through all of that. He brought me through all of that. And there's so many other testimonies that I have of accidents and different. I've been delivered of cancer twice. But I want to say about when God first delivered me from cancer and healed me.
Because you've said so many. It's just your testimony is just, it has so many gorgeous layers to it. And I just need to backtrack and highlight some of these things that you're saying because, you know, truth be told, Diana, you know, I really want the listeners to understand how God equipped you. There is no way on this green earth that you would have been aware at a young age with around your 10 brothers and sisters and your parents that these things, these sequence of things were going to happen to you. And I really want to talk about something. You know, your mom is this cornerstone. She clearly, in your testimony, she's this cornerstone. She's the rock. And what I love about God is that he's a generational God. And the idea that she passed down understanding and wisdom and discernment and knowledge to you, not even knowing that this is equipping you, reading the Bible, understanding the word, getting the imagery, getting the cause and effect and the repetition, all the gorgeous meat that the Bible gives. And Diana, as a young child, you said at the age of 13 and going forward that you were in the hospital at least once a year. I love what you said. You were blessed with a mother who really taught you to serve God, not just through paying tithes, but through prayer and faith. Diane, I guess my question is, there are many churches who teach and promote tithing like it's some genie in a bottle. You just go to church and tithe and don't worship, don't write the word of the Lord on your heart. Just tithe and all your problems will go away. But I want you to, if you can, backtrack for a moment. Why do you think or is people that are listening today, you know the difference between that. Talk to us about there is a difference understanding the word of the Lord and that God, you might tithe money, but that doesn't mean you're going to get money back. You might get patience and discernment and gentleness and kindness, right? Self-control, the things that you cannot see. So talk to us a little bit about that to educate some of the people listening today that think, well, I tithe my money, how come I'm not a millionaire?
Wow, that is so awesome that you even pointed that out. One thing I did, my mother taught us, was to tithe. She would show us, she would have the envelopes, and they were labeled, whatever was paid for. But the first thing that she put aside was money for tithes, offering, and first fruits. And first fruit, I know it goes to the pastors, and a lot of people don't understand why you have to pay money to a pastor. But the pastor, that's his job. He gave up working out here in the world to work and watch over the people's lives, over their souls, and to be with them and educate them.
That's right.
And so they deserve to be paid. They should be the highest paid people in the world because they are saving people's lives where they can go somewhere and live eternally. Nobody else can do that but a person that's speaking the word of God, and they should be because the Lord said he will bless over and above anything we can ever ask, dream, or imagine. And he said he wishes above all things that we prosper and be in health as our soul prospers. So God is talking about souls today. He's talking about, he's not about our heart. Where is our heart at? Where is our desires? What is it that we want to do more than anything else? And if it's to serve God, then we will be blessed beyond measure. We will be healed beyond measure. Our children will be blessed. They'll be healed. They'll be taken care of, because that's the type of God we serve, and that's what he's done in my life. I've tithed. Even when I wasn't going to church, I would send my tithes, because that's what I was taught to do. If I tell you, when I raised my three children, God stressed my finances. He made sure I had money to take care of things. I can't say we had a big, lavish life, but we made it. We didn't have to worry about food on the table. We didn't have to worry about clothes on our back. And what I didn't have, God would always send somebody to bless us. And the peace of God, the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. I mean, when you do the things according to God's will and God's way, I don't care if your life is toe up from the flow up, you still have a peace. I want to cry, because I can't believe, you know, I like to sleep at night. I don't like to be up worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't want to worry about where my next meal coming from. But my God loves us so much that he put me to sleep, and I sleep where people sometimes have a hard time waking me up. God just lays me out. He doesn't want me to be concerned about all this worldly stuff. He doesn't want me to be concerned. Maybe, yes, the doctor gave me a bad diagnosis. I had a bad report. But in it, through it, God still gave me the peace. And in my thinking, I thought everybody go through this. I didn't realize that it was something different on my end until I tell people about what God has done. And they're like, there's no way, you know. There's no way you went through all that. You need to write a book. And I was like, you know, one day I will write a book. And several times I did try to write a book. But then God finally, really, when 5 years ago, I mean, I had an outpatient alcohol drug facility. I was working for the sheriff department. I was going to people whenever their family members were in an accident or got murdered. I was one of the ones who would have to go tell the family before they seen it on the news. I was the one, you know, I was taught by the chaplain that found the cross in 911 in all that rubble. And he said God gave him a vision to raise a chaplain that will work alongside the emergency people, around the police officers and the sheriff's department, the ambulance people. And we would ride along and minister to them. Sometimes they didn't want to talk, so we would just pray in our spirit for them, because there was so much suicide among those people. They couldn't talk at home about what was going on. They talked around one another, but they still needed somebody to pray for them and intercede on their behalf. God taught me how to pray for others, because somebody had to pray for me. And everybody out there, I pray that you have somebody that is keeping you lifted up in prayer. You know, sometimes, Deborah, there was nobody around. Sometimes I felt all alone by myself. But I had to learn to go to God for myself. And I realized that was the reason why the Lord told my mom that she could not do all the praying for me, that I had to do it myself. At that time, he was teaching me how to go to God for myself and how to teach others to do it as well.
Yes. And Diana, you say a profound thing there, because we live in a society, there is nothing wrong with praying for others. We, you know, we survive because others have prayed for us in the past, and we live and we go on because people are praying. The church is praying for us. But, you know, sometimes you have to be like David and encourage yourself. There's not always going to be someone standing right in front of you telling you that you're great, telling you that you can do it, telling you that you have a purpose, telling you that you have a destiny. Sometimes you have to believe, and because God told you who you are, not somebody else told you who you are or that he was able to pour into you. Sometimes you don't have anybody pouring into us. We have to pick up that Bible and eat. eat every noun, every verb, every conjunction, all the cause and effect. God is talking to us through everything, but we have to learn to listen. We have to learn to be able to relate and look out in the world and say, oh, God, I see you talking to me in your resume, and I see your word in the world, and I see you drawing me closer to like-minded individuals. I want to talk just a moment before we go into a break. You have really set us on fire, Diana. Your testimony, your transparency, your gentleness, your kindness, your humbleness as you speak about what has happened to you. When you were talking about you love to sleep, this was so amazing. My sister always loved to sleep. She just loved to sleep. And as you were talking about it, I thought to myself, wow, all I could think about was Jairus's daughter and how they thought she was dead in the Bible. I think about Lazarus, you know, his death. And you know, when Abraham was just getting groomed by God, God had put him to sleep and he was talking to him. And it really shows you God's talking to us as we're supposed to be asleep. And God's talking to us and healing us and ministering to us. Adam was put to sleep so that the rib could be taken and Eve could be created. And I love that God's replenishing and restoring. But what I love most is people thought they were dead. And God said, no, just sleeping. Just sleeping. Amen. Just sleeping while I do my work. Sometimes God wants to do his work in secret. I love it. I love it, and I love you. Well, we've gotten off to a great start, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you have your listening ears on. I hope you have your mind and heart open. We're going to take a really, really short break, but when we come back, I want to dissect a little bit more this bike accident. I want to dissect, you know, the idea that Diana was raked and she had scabs all over her body, thick scabs. And I want to talk about how we cope when adversity really hits our way. I want you to stay tuned. It's an exciting Easter Sunday. So hang out with us as we interview Diana Dungy, this 61-year young miracle. We'll be right back.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
Don't go away. Stay tuned for more Dovetails with Deborah right after this.
Hey y'all, this is your bro, Robbie Newborn. You are tuned in to the Dovetails radio show, hosted by the truest, straightforward, God-fearing, loving host, Deborah Lassiter. So stay blessed, stay tuned. Come on, y'all.
Hi, this is Chef Yari from YariCooks.com, and you're listening to Dovetails with my favorite host, Deborah, on PJC Media.
Jesus said, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you received, freely give. Listen to our internet radio station at touchofgodradio.org, where you will find out your true identity in Christ. You can use the light that is within you to replace the darkness in this world. Go into all the world today with touchofgodradio.org.
We're back, and you're tuned in to Dovetails with Deborah right here on WPJC 104.5.
Hello, 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 everyone. I'm so glad that you decided to tune in with us this Sunday afternoon, this Easter Sunday afternoon. He has risen. He is risen. He's here with us. I am interviewing powerful, powerful woman of God, Diana Dungy. Again, she is the author of Faith is No Accident, a 3-volume work, which is so gorgeous and beautiful. If you've been tuning in, then you understand her tremendous journey already. You understand the adversity and the oppression that this woman actually has gone through. We learned a lot about Ms. Dungy prior to our commercial break, that she has this powerful mother that just really ushered in God into her family, that she was an introvert when she was younger. We're going to talk a little bit about that, that she had this horrible bike accident that actually just basically deformed her. She had a lip that was hanging and scraped down to the bone on the right side of her face. You don't get through something like that by just being, by not being in union with the Lord. You don't get through that type of heartache and headache without having some support system, grounding work, grounding understanding in Jesus Christ and what he has done for us on the cross. Again, Diana Dungy is a 61-year young miracle. And I have to be honest, those of you listening to the show, you're seeing the slideshow. When you hear about this woman's testimony and you see that beautiful face, you're just wondering, how did she go from there to here? And I'm telling you, that's the work of the Lord. I wanted to open up just by reading a scripture, because when I really was praying over this show and what Diana has gone through, this came right to my mind. And we're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, one of my favorite verses. When I went through what I was going through in my own life, the Holy Spirit carried me when he brought this to me, and it actually happens to be my birth date. 2 Corinthians 4:16, and I'm going to read. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, unseen is eternal. And I say that because, you know, Diana is dealing with this facial deformity and people not being able to look at her, a woman vomiting on her when she saw her face, making her feel unloved and unwanted and pretty much unnecessary. Why do we have to look at this little girl? Why do we have to look at the ugliness pretty much in the world? I wanted to read that scripture because the Lord can really carry you and help you to understand that the things that you see in this world, they're just temporary. They're just temporary. Mm-hmm. And God is the one that's eternal. God is the one that's creating in us a great work, and he's going to continue that work till our eyes close. So I wanted to talk with you, Diana, because as I thought about your testimony and the pain that you were in, you go through this elaborate in your testimony, being dunked in the tub, and then, you know, the scraping begins, and you have to go back and get scraped again. I mean, it didn't happen to me, but I'm reading it, and I'm like, oh my goodness, this feeling. I can't imagine what you were feeling, what you were thinking, the cries and the weeping. Even as I talk right now, and I hear the victory in your own voice, I think of Proverbs 14:10. Each man knows his own heart's pain, but no one can share in its joy. So talk to us a little bit, because as you went through this pain, I'm thinking of people that are listening to the show, that they are also going through pain. They are also going through their form of raking, their form of stronghold, whatever it is that is their cross to bear in this world. And I thought about people taking drugs. I thought about people being promiscuous. I thought about people lying and stealing and cheating just to cope with the pain. And I remember as I was growing up, it said those that, you know, can't turn to life turn to drugs, and those that can't turn to drugs turn to life. I want to talk about, you know, how did you cope? What conversations did you have with the Lord? I know you touched upon it earlier, but I want to really a little bit talk about the mental state that needs to be established in order to survive something like this.
You know, Deborah, like I said earlier, I thought it was just something that everybody has to go through. I didn't realize that it was an isolated situation. I don't even know why nobody got hurt but me on my bicycle, because my cousin was on there too, but she went away with a little scratch. I didn't, maybe it was the way that my mom dealt with it, but I don't remember saying, why me? But it was the embarrassment, you know, of having to, first of all, be carried on this it was like a mattress, but it had to be really soft just to prevent even more pain. And so, and then having to go through a hospital, through a certain door, so that nobody else could see me. And then even they're transported, put in that tub, and there's all these other doctors that were standing around. So I never looked at anyone's face. I did not want to see what anybody was looking at me with pity. I didn't want to see any looks of horror. So I just pulled into myself. And sometimes I would just make a joke out of the situation within myself just so that I could deal with it. And sometimes I would, you know, I would ask God, I'm already in pain, so why do I have to go through all this scraping? Because that was one of the worst. It was humiliating because, you know, I had to stand with no clothes on in front of all these people for one thing.
Oh, wow.
And then to have to stand up and have this liquid poured over me and hear the gas in people's faces, they see my body, and then to hear that scraping sound, you know, and they spray me so the pain is, to dull the pain as much as they can. And it was like a handheld rake that they used, and it would just go down my face, all this stuff, and then I could see all this stuff, red blood and all the scales and stuff floating on the top of this huge tub that I was in, and just over and over. I mean, it was, at first it was a couple of times a week, and then it was a week, then every other 2 weeks. But, and you know, this went on for, I think, like at least 6 months, where I would have to constantly go back and get, every time the scabs grew, they had to be pruned back. Just like every time things happen to us in life, God, if we allow him to, will prune back. And sometimes he has to take people out of our life. So I didn't have a lot of people in my life as I went through this. My brothers and sisters, they would slip my food to me through the door. I had to stay in one room. And then when I finally was able to sit at the table with my family, I still seen their eyes that were averted, and it was isolation. It was like I was all alone in this except my mother. It was like she knew every thought I had, all the pain. She would cry, and she would constantly apologize. But she still stood on the word of God, and she continued to remind me to stand on the word of God. God allowed you to go through this for a reason, she would always tell me. And I'm like, what kind of reason?
I'm sorry. I just wanted to interrupt for 1 second because, and I apologize because, you know, you're every time that you're speaking, I just keep getting these thoughts and Holy Spirit bringing to mind, and just, I'm going to fumble this thought, but you know, this raking, these scales, and in a strange way, because you're on this show talking about your testimony. You know, everything that we go through is really to talk about it, to bring it from the dark into the light. And I just, I guess, as you're talking, I keep feeling humanity as a whole, what the fall of man did was brought sin into the world. And I'm not speaking of you necessarily, Diana, individually. I'm just more so thinking in my mind, humanity as a whole and the toxicity that sin puts on top of us, the layers of sin. The layers of stronghold, the layers of molestation, the layers of rape, the layers of genocide, the layers of suicide, right? And then it's like as you're being scraped, I just get this visual of this is what it takes for God to rid humanity. To rid humanity, the painful, agonizing work. That your testimony right now, it's in the form of words. But what you've gone through, you say it with such conviction that it's really showing people the work God needs to do to rid mankind of the sin that so easily entangles, the sin that becomes a part of our skin. That God has to, you know, that's why it's so important, especially today with it being Easter, that the old is gone. But look what needs to happen. I feel like you're a walking understanding of what needs to happen for the new to actually come. That's the work that God's doing, the transformative work. So So many people think they enter into the walk so easily, but God's saying, I'm doing a miracle here. I feel like your testimony illustrates that. It's sort of a metaphor for it, you know, and, mm-hmm. and even though it's in your life and you're the one that went through the pain, I keep feeling that wow, Lord, you really do a mighty work. And only you, Diana, can tell this testimony because it happened to you. I'm not saying that your sin, you know, these layers of scales is your sin, but it's just that visual. You know, Christ dying on the cross, he bore humanity's sins. And it's just like these scales, these thick scales. I hope out there you're really listening and you're hearing what this woman has gone through. And she still praises the Lord. She still feels that she owes him her life, and she honors and glorifies him. So I really wanted to just say that. I just felt that I needed to share that.
Yeah. And you know, Deborah, while you were saying that, I thought about that scripture that you can't put new wine in old wine. Yeah.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Oh, my God. He's so precious and he's so wonderful that he wants it done right. He wants us to be the best. He wants us to look the best. He wants us to have the best. But in order to do that, he said we have to suffer with him and glorify him with him. Just like he wants the good times, you have to go through the bad times in order to appreciate the good times. Hallelujah. So, Lord, I just thank God. You know, it could have been worse. I could still be disfigured. I still could be walking around, as my sister said, creature, hunchback of Notre Dame. But God seen fit. I think about the scripture. He said, thank God he doesn't make us look like what we've been through. That's how glorious he is. He doesn't want us to be disfigured. He doesn't want us, but sometimes the things that we do in life, we put it upon ourselves, and then we get angry with God. But we can't be angry with God when we put ourselves in the situation that we know we shouldn't be in. I knew I shouldn't even have had my cousin on the back of that bike. So sometimes, you know, we can do a good thing, but it's not a godly thing. And because then we didn't see God first, because we didn't do it God's way, because we didn't do the way that we know it was supposed to be, we're going to have to pay that price. And there's no sense in getting angry with God. We just go through. We repent. We ask God to forgive us. And then go through and let him take us through. And that's what God does for us.
I'm so proud of you. I really am. You're a wonderful, strong, tenacious, and resilient woman of God. I thank you for you sharing all these details, all the pain that you've gone through. And I just feel, I don't know, I just feel very proud of you. I wanted to highlight to those of you, well, you're welcome, little girl. I feel like little girl.
Can I say one thing, though, Deborah?
Sure.
The title of your ministry dovetails. Another thing that God does is he uses me through dreams. And whenever there's someone close to me, they're getting ready to, their life is God is getting ready to take them to heaven, a dove comes outside my window. I hear doves in the morning. They wake me up from a dream that God has given me. And I know I have to go to that person and tell them what God revealed to me in a dream. Sometimes if they obey, whatever happened to what has happened to them, God will take it away from them. He will cancel out whatever was going. They were hit, whatever direction they were headed, if they be obedient. But I always hear the doves out there outside my window, and I thought about that when I said you the name of your field is doves, and God just I wrote a book on dreams as well, a dream which is not a dream at all, and just how God uses me through dreams, and I use the scriptures and what different types of dreams mean as well. God, you know, he just has so much in us that he want to use for his glory if we will allow him to.
Oh, wow, that's beautiful. That's amazing. It's amazing, you know, as you get closer to the Lord, the things that he reveals to you, and not to anyone, but specifically for you to have that connection and for you to see that dove. And for you, you understand what that means. It's this communication that the Lord has with you and that you've built over decades with him. We're going to take a really, really short break. We're coming to the end of our program, but prior to us going to break, I wanted to just read Jeremiah 29:11. I know it's a verse that all of you hear so often. It starts to become a little stale. It needs another anointing to be revived. I'm like, sometimes I have to be honest, like, please don't quote Jeremiah 29:11 again. Please. But we're going to say it again on this show. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I love that. And then I will be found by you, declares the Lord. I think what I wanted to say was, God says, I know the plans. I think what we don't see, and sometimes I fail to see in the scripture, is that he doesn't tell us the plans. What he does is he says, I have plans for you, but the plans, they're not going to harm you. The plans are going to give you hope, and the plans are going to give you a future. But God says, if you want the details of the plans, I can't give you that, because why? You won't come to me. Everything God does is about relationship and community. God wants us to come to him in every step of our walk, in the middle of the day, the beginning of the day. Do not put God on a list checking him off. He wants to be folded into the fiber of your day. He wants to be folded into your thought process. That's why he doesn't give you all the plans. He says, I know them. And what you need to do is trust me as you walk through this life. What you need to do is come talk to me. The only way that Solomon knew to pray to the Lord was because his father taught him. And you know, the only way he said, I'm asking for wisdom. Sometimes in the middle of your walk, you have to ask for what you want. You got to ask for it and figure out what you need in the process of the day and then come to the Lord, because he says you do not have because you do not ask. So ask. But you have to keep going to him. So I wanted to just share that as we go into another commercial. But when we come back, I want to talk about faith not being an accident with the wonderful Diana Dungy. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back.
Don't go away. Stay tuned for more Dovetails with Deborah right after this.
Are you a reader looking for more compelling Christian fiction? Maybe something a little more edgy or a bit more real? Are you tired of most Christian fiction shying away from the truth and settling for a rose-tinted view of the world and its issues? Or are you an author who has a compelling story to tell, but you're afraid it doesn't jive with today's brand of Christian or secular fiction? Are you tired of Christian publishers telling you that your content is too edgy? Or maybe you've tried submitting your content under the radar to secular publishers only to be told your themes are a bit too religious. We invite you to take a look at the Crossover Alliance. We are an online publishing company that specializes in edgy Christian speculative fiction with Christian themes and real-world content. Our company is formed from authors and readers just like you who are breaking into the mainstream and Christian markets with this compelling genre. Head over to the www.thecrossoveralliance.com for all the details on who we are, what we do, and what we accept. Right now, if you sign up for our email newsletter, you'll receive a free digital copy of our first short story anthology. Check us out today and help us spread the word about the Crossover Alliance, where light shines brighter in the darkness.
Let's get cooking. Yari Cooks is a place where you will find recipe ideas, tutorials, and tips, clean eating, classic favorites, meal plans, nutrition information, and a lot more. You can find instructional videos or download recipes found on YattyCooks.com. Follow my cooking chronicles on Instagram and Twitter. Get quarterly newsletters, latest updates on trending food culture at YattyCooks.com. Let's get cooking.
We're back, and you're tuned in to Dovetails with Deborah right here on WPJC 104.5.
Aren't you excited? I'm excited. This is so awesome. Happy Easter to everyone. Yay! We're so excited that you're tuned in to Dovetails. I am interviewing an extraordinary woman, Diana Dungy. And again, she is the founder of the Blessed Ones Alcohol and Drug Concerns Outpatient Facility, directing and counseling clients from CPS, probation, parole, families, and teenagers. She is the author of Faith is No Accident, which is a 3-volume work. And I love this. I love this. Well, first of all, please take a look at her website, www.faithisnoaccident.com. Again, that is www.faithisnoaccident.com. You also can find her on Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter, and her Facebook. You can order the book, and you want to go to Faith is No Accident Book, and you can purchase her book on Amazon.com as well. So again, check out her website, and as we interview her today. Diana, I love this. I love what you said. Life was an accident looking for a place to happen. You're speaking of yourself. And now you are a blessing looking to bless others. I want you to comment briefly before we come to the end of our program about, I think there's a misconception as a Christian, people think that bad things couldn't or shouldn't happen to them. I love that you say life was an accident looking for a place to happen, because to me, when I hear that, I think, you know what, accidents do happen. That's just the natural course of life. But it's what we lean on to get up is the difference. Mm-hmm. Talk to us about that.
I think about that scripture, Deborah, call things that are not as though they are.
Yes.
That's how we have to endure. That's how we endure, because we don't have any control. And the only way that we're going to even have faith, that's why I say it's not an accident. Faith is just not going to fall on top of us. It's not up there in the skies, woo-woo, like some little ghost fixture. We have to chase after it. We have to let it be a choice for us. We have to say, Lord, I can't do this. I need to find something that's going to help me to endure. I need something that's going to that can help me get past where I am. So we have to find out what that is. Like, some people have faith in drugs. Some people have faith in alcohol. Some people have faith in sex. But you have to look for something that's going to help you get through. And my faith is in God, because God is all-powerful. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. He knows all. He sees all. He's every prayer present at the same time. And there's nobody on this earth, not in heaven, nowhere, that has those capabilities but God. So if we want something to happen, why not have faith in the best thing, the one that can help us more than anything, anybody? So faith is no accident. You have to want it. You have to want to believe. You have to trust in something bigger than you. And that's God.
You have to.
And you have to recognize it. My understanding, this had to happen. It was necessary. And it's not even about me. I can't think, woe is me. And why is this? Why did this happen? And God will say, why not you? I mean, he said, I gave something of value, something most important thing to me, a person that had never done any wrong, knew no sin, was perfect. I allowed my son Jesus to come down here on earth as mortal man to endure a pain that was so horrible, worse than anything we could ever go through. And God did it for us. Because he loved us so much, he sacrificed his son to come down here. And Jesus, because he loved his Father God so much, he agreed to it. God didn't force him to do it. This was something Jesus took upon himself, knowing that his daddy loved us, that his daddy had a plan. I don't even know if he knew what the total plan was, but he was obedient. And he laid down his life. Jesus was powerful. He didn't have to go through all this. He could have at any time came down off of that cross. He could have told them, don't drive those stakes through my feet and my hands, because it's going to hurt. He felt all that pain. He did it for us. And if Jesus can do that for us, if he could go through pain, why can't we? Who are we? We have nothing to offer. We don't have a hell or a heaven that we can give to people. So who are we to think that we cannot go through things? Because everything we go through is to help somebody else. God is going to put somebody in our life that is going to go through similar or the same thing. And we can say, I know what you're going through. I've been there. Let me tell you how to deal with it. Let me tell you how to go through it so you can get through without having to depend on other things to get through. And that's why we go through.
I'm telling you, you have something to say. Yes, you do. You have something to say, and we are all ears. We really are. You stop the room when, you know, sometimes it's like you look out into the world and everything is just disoriented. And honestly, Diana, as you shared your testimony today, I felt like the room just stopped, and, you know, we could focus on you, and we could see and learn from your wisdom as you educate us today on just what the Lord has taught you, what he has healed you from. And, you know, for anyone out there that's listening, maybe you're wondering right now, why do I have to keep serving? Why do I keep serving the Lord? And, you know, as Diana spoke, I thought to myself, at any time you can get off, at any time. But I find that our experiential sanctification, it's the more you love him, the more you volunteer to walk out into this world, that it's through your love you actually continue to serve. You don't have to do it for any other reason. You can just bow out. You can just step back. You can just go about your business and say, well, you know what? I think I can do it better. But the more you get to know God, the more you love him, the more you want to serve him. It's amazing. Yeah. You wake up and realize it. We have had an amazing time with this woman of God. We are at the end of our program, but Diana, I want to thank you so much for what you've shared today. I know that we need to have you back on for a follow-up show. I know it already, so we can find out more about you and just learn from your journey. Anyone out there listening, please, again, check out her website at www.faithisnoaccident.com. Again, www.faithisnoaccident.com. We are interviewing, or have interviewed today, Diana Dungy, a 61-year young miracle, founder of the Blessed Ones Alcohol and Drug Concerns outpatient facility, directing and counseling clients. And in addition, she has a bachelor's in criminal justice and human services. Thank you so much, Diana, for being with us today. And I'd love to end. You're so welcome, sweetheart. I want to end this show just reading a snippet, an entry actually, from an annual devotional called Jesus Calling. Many of you out there probably have read this. Enjoying peace in his presence. Sometimes you just need your dose of God right before you flee out the door. Sarah Young, an anointed woman, she has written this, and I'm going to just read today's entry for April 1st. I am calling you to a life of constant communion with me. Basic training includes learning to live above your circumstances, even while interacting on that cluttered plane of life. You yearn for a simplified lifestyle so that your communication with me can be uninterrupted. But I challenge you to relinquish the fantasy of an uncluttered world. Accept each day as it comes, and find me in the midst of it all. Talk with me about every aspect of your day, including your feelings. Remember that your ultimate goal is not to control or fix everything around you. It is to keep communing with me. A successful day is one in which you have stayed in touch with me, even if many things remain undone at the end of the day. Do not let your to-do list, written or mental, become an idol directing your life. Instead, ask my spirit to guide you moment by moment. He will keep you close to me. Until next time, please keep sharing your dovetail, and God bless you.
Thanks for tuning in. And to listen to this show and other shows, visit the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/PJC Media or download Stitcher on your mobile device so you can tune in to next week for another Dovetails with Deborah.